I mentioned this morning that we're covering our two sermons under the general theme of Christ and his victory in the world. So in the morning, we were looking at preaching Christ in the book of Daniel, the victorious, you know, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the evening, we're looking at prayer in the book of Daniel. So basically, Daniel and prayer. There are a number of situations where Daniel had to express his total dependence on the Lord. Remember, he's been taken into exile. He's living in a foreign land. At the beginning, he's a young man. You know, by the time you come to chapter 6, he's a much older man. And the wise way to live for him was to be totally dependent on God. The kings of the world will come and go. But the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that he needed to depend on. And so throughout his life, he maintained a life of integrity. If you have to consider men in the Bible who finished well in their Christian walk, Joseph stands out, and the next one is Daniel. Daniel stands out throughout his life. As a teenager, as a young man, he stood up and maintained his integrity before God. And even as an old man, he did not give in. There were men in the Old Testament, like Solomon, they started very well, but later on he ended up with 700 wives. Can you imagine? You have David started well. He was caught up in sin. You have Samson. He began well and ended up not so well. But when you look at Daniel, he is very consistent in his Christian walk. And one of the important things in his life is his prayer life. Daniel and prayer. And so the first thing that we see about his prayer life is found in this, where, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he doesn't tell his people what he dreamt. He just says, "Can you tell me what I dreamt? And can you interpret it? If you can tell me what I had, the dream I had, then I know that you can be able to explain it." And none of his people could do anything. And he said, "Okay, I want everybody killed." And so Daniel comes in and said, "Is it this urgent? Can you give me a bit of time?" And what does Daniel do? He goes to the Lord our God. That's what we find in that chapter 2. When he is coming here for prayer, Daniel, look at verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and the companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. It was out of seeking God's mercies. It was out of wanting to speak to God, to pray to the Lord, to intercede with God, that God revealed what the king had dreamt. Can you imagine? You would have no idea what the king dreamt, but here God revealed. This is a miracle. How can you know what I dreamt last night? It was only God who could reveal to Daniel what the dream was, and eventually, you know, was able to interpret, you know, that particular, you know, dream. That dream. But he had to pray to the Almighty God. And when it was revealed, the first thing that he begins with is adoration of God. You know this verse that we read from verse 20? "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons." What is he doing? He is giving an adoration to God. He is giving, you know, praise to God. That is the first thing in terms of prayer, is to be taken up by God. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What is that doing? It is being taken up with God. And that is how he began to pray in this adoration when God had answered, you know, his prayer. So Daniel depends on the Almighty God to interpret the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamt. I wonder how much we adore God in our prayers. Maybe when we have some ailment, we just say, God, can you heal this one? Or we don't have money, can you provide this money? Or someone is ill, can you heal this person? Or someone has died, we pray, you know, for the bereaved people and so on. And then we don't take the adoration of who God is and what he's able to do. There's a lot in there that he brings out in this verse 20 to 23. There is a lot in there. You can spend a lot of time studying the character of God. You know that the God that we have is the Almighty God. He is the one who is everywhere. He is the one who is all-powerful. He is the one who is all-knowing. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who removes kings and raises up kings. It is all in there. He brings it out there because he has been taken up by the Almighty God. He is the one who has answered the prayer that he cried to the Lord about. So that's the first situation we find here concerning his total dependence, you know, on God. In fact, the whole of Daniel, again and again, you find him wanting to depend, you know, on God. You have the story of the lion's den, which we looked at this morning. Chapter 6, I look at verse 10. You know, when it was clear that Daniel was going to go into the lion's den, what does he do? Verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down his knees 3 times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before God, and his custom, as his custom in our early days. Here is a situation where he's going to be thrown into the lions to be eaten up by lions. What does he do? He comes before this mighty God as was his custom. Notice that this was his custom. This was something that he did from time to time. It was not a one-off. It was not a one-off at all. And it was something that was regular. He said 3 times that day. You know, he had a set time to be able to speak to the Almighty God. And so he comes to the Lord. And notice his posture. He is actually opened his windows and is facing Jerusalem. Jerusalem, why Jerusalem? Well, that's where they were taken out from. And that's where he wants to get his people back, you know, to Jerusalem. They were taken into exile, away from their land. And now he goes in the upper room, in a particular place. He has a particular place and a particular posture. And he was very humble. You know, he knelt down. And he was doing this 3 times in a day. And he prayed. And his prayer, there was thanksgiving. Prayer is not just asking. Prayer is giving thanks to God. You don't just adore the Almighty God, but you actually thank the Lord. And here you have Daniel, you know, thanking God. He is about to be eaten up by lions. What does he do? He goes to the Lord and expresses himself before the Almighty God. Here is Daniel before this impending danger, that he comes to the Lord, and this was his habit. And this is something that he did at a particular time, in a particular posture, in a particular place. And I wonder whether we have a place of prayer in our house. I wonder whether we have a time set for prayer in our lives. I wonder whether it can be said it is our custom to pray to the Almighty God. Or is it something that we accidentally remember, oh, I forgot, you know, to pray. In the upper room, facing Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he gave thanks to God. And this was his custom. Daniel and prayer. What is he doing? Total dependence on God. Totally. I mean, if you are to be thrown to the lions, there is nowhere else you can go to except depend on the Lord. And that is what, you know, Daniel was able to do. He totally depended on the Almighty God. And the Lord himself, we know the story, how he was delivered. But what he's basically saying here, when we are faced with some very challenging situations, first he needed wisdom how to interpret the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And that wisdom was given to him by God. And now he's faced with a very challenging situation. And there are many challenging situations in the world today. And even this church here, we have a challenging situation where we are very few, and we don't have a pastor, and we don't have elders, we don't have deacons, and that's a challenging situation. What do we do? What do we do? Well, we need to go to the Lord. You know where there has been a revival? There has been somebody praying. Sometimes there would just be one lady who has given her life to pray to God. And the revival has taken place. It's not a rule that when you pray, you'll have a revival. But wherever there has been a revival, there has been someone praying. And we are many enough here, 7 people tonight, to be able to commit ourselves to the Lord and say, we are in a crisis situation. We are in a crisis situation. You know, we are about to be eaten up by the lions, as it were. And we need to come to you, O Lord, to come and help us in this particular situation. And not just one day, but we set a number of days when we can pray. Not only, on Sunday, but we can have other days. We can be praying in our homes. But we have set a time together and agreed as a church to be able to pray about the provision of a pastor, about the provision of church leaders, about reviving his church to be a testimony in this particular village. But you know, it's not just the crisis of the church. Sometimes we have our own crisis in our own lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, in the country. You can have a crisis very easily. At one time, there is peace in a nation. At another time, there is a crisis. It happens all over the world. At one time is in one nation, at another time is in another. The world over, we have no control of what happens. But the Lord, of course, he is in charge. He's in control. So, whatever crisis we face, like Daniel was faced with going into the lion's den, he cried to the Lord, and he was at peace with God. So we see a wisdom, wanting to interpret dreams, but also faced with a crisis. And then the third one is in chapter 9. If we can go to chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, we see Daniel praying. Chapter 9. Since we didn't read these verses, I would like us to read them. Chapter 9, verse 3. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and made confession, and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with these, with those who love him, and with those who keep his commandments, We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. And neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princesses, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princesses, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, O Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath are written in the law of Moses. The servant of God has been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon a great disaster, for under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All the disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God. And we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with the mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay. For your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, please observe that Daniel, as he prays here, there are a lot of things about the characteristics of prayer. He says he's doing this because of God's own sake, for God's own sake. It is according to God's will. And here he comes up with confession, you know, of sin. A number of times what he's saying here is that we have disobeyed. You know, God delivered the children of Israel from the Egyptians. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They went through the wilderness. They crossed the Jordan. And they came to the promised land. And there they began to misbehave. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. God raised up judges judges that were able to try and help them to get them back to God. But even through that particular period, they went on ahead and chose themselves a king. And they had all these kings that came, good and bad, but eventually there was a division between the north and the south. And the northern people were taken into exile, and the Samaritans, as it were, they mixed with the other nations. But Judah remained for some time. And then there was this being taken by the Babylonians. God had said, if you disobey me, I will punish you. I am going to use the nations of the world to punish you. I'm going to use the Edomites. I'm going to use the Malachites. I'm going to use any that I want to choose. And so he chose to use the Babylonians to be able to bring the children of Israel out into exile. And now, Daniel, while he's in exile, is pleading with God. Yes, Lord, we have disobeyed. We were delivered and we were given the commandments how we should be close to God. You know, they were delivered first and then they were given the commandments how they can be close to God. But they disobeyed the commandments. And so the Lord was able to punish them by taking them into exile. And here we have a man of God who comes in prayer. Just this chapter, there's so much you can get concerning, you know, prayer. He talks about the awesome God, the God of mercy, the God who can forgive, you know, the God who can help us so that we turn away from our iniquities, the righteous and mighty God, the one who has ears to hear the prayers of the saints. And so he is able to bring the supplications. So we have seen prayer is adoration, where we adore God. Prayer is thanksgiving, where we thank God for what he has done. But we also see that we have to ask. We have to bring supplications, as it were. We have to ask God. It's not just a matter of adoration. It's not a matter of just confession. It's not a matter of just thanksgiving, but we must also ask God for specific things. And here Daniel stands up and he asks the Almighty God. That is prayer. That is prayer, asking God. You know, when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on and so on. There are times where the prayer says, give us. There is a request, a specific request, and that we need to make that request concerning our various situations, whether on a family level or as a church. We must have specific things that we want God to do. We ask him specifically, what do you want as a church so that I can bless you? What do you want as an individual? What do you want as a family? Can you be able to specify exactly? And you know, Daniel says, we bring these supplications. It is not just our supplications because of what we have done on our righteousness. No, no, no. Because of your great mercy. It is dependent on you, O God. We come in his name. And so that it may be according to his will. But still more, we should be able to ask. What is it that we are asking the Lord? That is it that we are asking the Lord today. Do we have any requests whatsoever that we come, you know, to God with? So Daniel will say he has these requests. When there was a time of need to interpret a dream, he gets the wisdom from God. That's where he goes to ask. You know, when he's going in the den of lions, he worships God. He prays to God. He's in tune with God. He's in fellowship with God. And when he sees his nation departing from God, he pleads on their behalf. Do we plead for our nation where it has gone astray? Do we have time where we can ask God that he may revive his church in the land so that, you know, God may bless many, may be coming to the Lord to know him? That supplication is coming in here. Daniel was able to give adoration to God. He was able to confess the sins. He was able to thank the Almighty God. But at the same time, he had very specific requests that he was able to do. But all that according to the will of the Almighty God. How do we live wisely in this world? We cannot live based on our wisdom. We have to depend on the Almighty God. And we have to come to him regularly, personally, constantly, humbly, in silence, in solitude. You know, we have to do everything we can to be able to speak to Almighty God, and so that he may be able to hear us. If we don't commune with him, then we have lost the track. Yes, we may be living like in exile at the moment, where people, you know, have no consideration for the things of God. It's just as good as living in exile. But when you are in exile, what do? You turn to the Almighty God. If you look through the book of Daniel, there's a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Daniel. Shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look through the book of Daniel, you will find a lot about prayer, you know, throughout the book of Daniel. You look through the book of Daniel, you will find kings rising and falling in the book of Daniel. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control of this world. Kings will come and go, but the Lord is on the throne. And therefore, we need to run to him. We need to be in tune with him. We need to be close to him. We must commune, you know, with him. Because he's the one who is in charge of the world. I wonder whether we want to have that communion with him on a daily basis. Because he's the one who is in charge of the universe. He created the world, and he came to save the people, and the people rejected him, but he's coming again to judge the world. And just like the children of Israel went astray, many other times we have gone astray. We need to rush back, confess our sins, and ask him for whatever our needs are. What needs are you going to bring to the Lord this week? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray.